That's right. You're listening to Geek World on KCLA-FM.com. We are your superhero, super hosts, Anime and Dave, here to bring you the best in the world of geek. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to animeontheradio@yahoo.com. That's A-N-N-A-M-A-Y on the radio at yahoo.com. Check out our webpage. That's right. We have our very own website, geekworldradio.com. Check out our MySpace page, myspace.com/geekworld. And guess what? We blog. That's right. Geek World is now blogging. You can go right to geekworldradio.com. There's a link straight from there, as well as to our archived shows and to some great pictures that we have of Transformers cars, pictures from the Anime Expo, and all sorts of other fun stuff.
And soon to come, pictures from the Quickie Mart.
Yep, soon to come.
Who needs the Quickie Mart, Anna?
I do.
That was very nice. That was very nice.
Thank you.
Didn't sound quite as good as Hank Azaria, but you know.
Yeah, you know,
that's life.
I'm just not Hank Azaria.
It's okay, because he gets paid way more money to talk than we do, that's for sure. Actually,
yeah.
Do we get paid any money to talk?
I pay money.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well,
someday,
we'll get
paid money.
Yes, you can always
hope. If you'd like
you
to pay
dream.
Us money,
yes.
Send us an email
yes.
to animeontheradio@yahoo.com.
Send a check to geekworldradio.com.
Yeah. Anyways, today's show is going to be about the new movie, Angsty Potter and the Order of Everyone That Hates Harry.
Yes,
or
better known as Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah, whatever.
Yes, the fifth installment of the Potter franchise. And also, we're going to, you know, there's this little thing in video games going on right now known as E3.
Yeah.
That's going on in Santa Monica. And I can't tell you how annoying it is that, like, literally, at any given time, we're maybe, what, 10 miles away
yeah,
from Santa
yeah.
Monica, yet, you know, it's very hard to get access this year
because
they close it down.
Next
year,
we will no doubt get in.
But luckily, you know, between G4 and IGN getting in there, we got some good news for you there.
Yep.
And maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll get a little time to talk about the Harry Potter Wii game.
We haven't gotten too far into it, so we can
yes.
only give you a very preliminary
yes.
Review of it, but... But I think we'll have a little time to talk about it.
Definitely.
So should we go on to start talking about the movie a little bit?
Let's talk about Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Okay. We're not going to give too much away, so if you
yes.
haven't seen it yet, and you've probably read it anyway, but even if you haven't seen it, don't worry. You can still listen. We're not going to give away any big secrets.
And before we talk about it, we should keep in mind that neither Anime or myself have read the books.
Right. I read the first book and half of the second.
So we're purely... criticizing or praising this movie based on the film itself
yep.
and not what's in the book, which apparently this was the longest of the Potter books, so there was quite a bit they had to cut out.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that a little bit in our review too. So yeah, so what would you first like to say about it, you think?
You have never seen Harry Potter so angsty.
Yes.
But I have to say, I'm really impressed at what a good little actor Daniel Radcliffe has become, and he's becoming such a handsome young man too. It's he's become an adult, and he truly is a good actor.
Yeah,
so
he's
for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty impressive. I mean, he's done quite a good job. I know. I mean, ever since Cuarón came on the third
yep.
movie and kind of pushed those kids into places they had never been, you know. I mean, obviously, at that point, they were, what, like 13 or 14, so they were
yeah.
kind of slowly
becoming
little
older.
Adults
they
at
were
that point.
Getting
anyway.
A little more experienced.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, he did a really great job. But, you know, he had a lot of screen time in this one, too. I don't know if there was a frame in this movie that Daniel Radcliffe wasn't in.
I think there was one frame where the Weasley brothers
yes.
were in it, and he wasn't.
Yes, yeah. And that's pretty much it. There was a whole lot of Harry Potter in this one.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously, the book and movie is called Harry Potter, so that would make sense. But generally, I always got the impression from the movies that it was, like, about Harry Potter and his friends.
It was kind of the Hogwarts story.
Yeah.
It was about Harry and Hermione and Ron and...
And just the Weasley family in general.
And
Dumbledore.
And Dumbledore and Snape and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about Snape. I think Snape was in this movie for like two scenes, wasn't he?
He was in it more than McGonagall.
Yeah, McGonagall was like in like one scene, I think. Well, no, she was in like two scenes, but very quickly. It was strange. It was a lot of Harry Potter and a little of everybody else.
Yeah.
For the most part, which I found kind of shocking. I think I understand, you know, what they were going for, because they were trying to make like kind of a darker Harry Potter movie this time around.
Yeah, and let me say, I really enjoyed that it was such a dark film. But you really do miss the charm of a Quidditch match.
Yeah.
You know, you miss the charm of the houses fighting for supremacy and getting points and getting points knocked off because they were bad in class, and well, and just the various different classes that they'd go to.
Well, it's funny because when I read some reviews before we saw this, pretty much the critics, like, you know, they love to, like, grab onto a certain kind of, like, you know, kitschy thing to say that, you know, they can wrap up on a big tagline there. And the thing there was that everyone was saying was, like, the magic is gone, you know?
Yeah.
And pretty much I think what they mean, what they really meant was the fact that, yeah, like, you know, there wasn't, you know, a Quidditch match. There wasn't a lot of, like, kids, you know, learning fun magic and cute things going on.
Yeah.
It was a lot more of, like, you know, I swear half the movie was Harry Potter, like, you know, sleeping, sweating, you know, and having the horrible nightmares and waking up all paranoid.
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
But I guess, according to, I was looking at Entertainment Weekly, there was a lot of stuff in the book that was more like Harry Potter-ish, including, like, a Quidditch match.
Yeah.
I guess there was a kind of a Quidditch thing with Ron where they played against Ravenclaw that they had it, that they couldn't add into the movie. So there were elements like that in the book. They just chose for the movie to be in a more of a darker direction.
Yeah, and obviously with such a humongous book, yeah, you have to take liberties. You have to pick and choose what parts you're going to put in. It's
definitely
just, this was very much more of an adult movie. I don't know that I would recommend bringing small children to see it. I think it might be a little too intense, a little too scary for smaller children.
It's odd. It really bridges the gap between, you know, the kids movies and a teenage movie. Like,
yeah,
it really is much more teenage oriented. You know, I don't know, because it's weird, because, you know, it's like a flagship children's thing, you know,
it is,
so it's kind of hard not to tell kids to go, because
but
it does deal with more adult themes than the other ones have.
Absolutely, and I think a lot of it has to do with the director. I mean, what were you telling me that the big thing that this director had done?
Yeah, David Yates is the director of this movie, and he's I believe he's a British actor, and he hasn't really done a lot that Americans would know about. He has a lot of work in England. He did this this miniseries for the BBC called Sex Traffic about prostitution, and that was like a really dark and gritty, and I guess that's one of the reasons they hired him, because they wanted someone a little more on the dark side. But I guess originally they tried to get the director from the fourth movie, Goblet of Fire, to direct,
right,
but he couldn't do it. I think this is a really tough, these movies are really tough for directors.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them
they're
say
so
like they can't do it
so
afterwards.
Time consuming.
Yeah, yeah. And if it's that bad for directors, imagine the poor kids,
yeah,
you know, what
well,
they have to go through, especially
at,
you know.
That's why they were having so much trouble. Like, there were so many questions of who was actually going to return. And I'm glad they all did. I'm glad that it looks like they're going to continue to maybe finish it off. And I hope they do. But it's got to be rough on them.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they're paying through the teeth for these kids, too. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think you can kind of see that on screen, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
I mean, I read, and it says that this was the biggest budget of all the Harry Potter movies, over
mm-hmm.
$200 million. But, you know, honestly, I gotta say, I hate to say it, but some of the effects weren't that great.
Yeah, like, let me just put this into perspective for you. Think of an easy effect, fireworks, you know, where they have been doing firework effects for so long. And they did a whole bunch of firework effects, and it looked like a Flash cartoon.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it wasn't that great in that respect.
Entirely unimpressive. It was...
It's tough, you know, and also there was a character, we don't want to give too much away, but a character that was kind of reminding me of that, like, ogre from, was it the first or second movie that kind of broke in?
The first
movie, right? Yeah. And, you know, it kind of like that, but you know what? I tell you what, the effects didn't look much better than they did, you know,
five
or 6 years ago when they shot the first one. And that's a little disparaging, especially when, you know, you're supposed to evolve over time, because obviously special effects get better over time.
Yeah.
So that kind of bothered me. However, there were quite a few when they had wizard battles. There was some cool special effects there.
Yeah.
But I just felt like some of the effects just kind of looked like they didn't get much better than the first movie, which kind of upset me a little bit. You know, even little things like, you know, books you could tell were, like, digital and stuff like that, you know. And that kind of bothered me, but I think a lot of it did have to do with the fact that, you know, they have to pay these kids so much now, A, and also this one had a lot more location shooting, so they had to pay for that, too.
Now, keep in mind, we enjoyed this.
Yeah, definitely.
We enjoyed this movie. We definitely liked it. Like I said before, we enjoyed how dark it was. You know, we kind of enjoy dark things. But we definitely had our qualms with it.
Yeah.
And one of the big things for me is that this movie kind of felt like a bridge. It was just a bridge.
Yeah.
A bridge between Goblet of Fire and the next movie to come. It didn't feel like a lot happened. It didn't feel like I learned much. And with a book as long as this, you know, I get it. Again, they had to pick and choose. But it was like it was made for someone with ADD.
I think it was written for some, like, some the person who wrote it had ADD or something, because it always felt like every scene was unfinished. Like, they started with something, and then they didn't quite finish it, and you're like, oh, okay, they'll get back to that later, and they didn't.
Yeah, you know? Well, again, you know, like, written for someone with ADD, it's like, oh, okay, we're talking about this, okay, let's go on to this, okay, let's go on to that. Don't need to stop back at anything again, you know, don't need to revisit what we were just talking about.
Well, part of it is, too, I understand from this EW article that the director thought that the other Harry Potter movies were too long, so this is the shortest of the Harry Potter movies, so that might have
felt
had something
like
to do with it. I know, it felt pretty long, right? And really, it did feel so long because it was very psychological, it was very Harry-based, and it was very little was going on. I mean, really, in the end. But I do welcome kind of the darker, more adult feel, just because it's natural, you know?
It is. They've grown up. They've grown up, and they're facing a far bigger threat than they have in the past. And as we've seen in the past movies, the threat grows. Each movie, the threat grows.
Just because pretty much Voldemort just gets stronger, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
You know, I tell you what, this is kind of odd, but there's a lot of, like, allegorical stuff in this movie, I think, more than some of the other movies. Like, you know, just, you know, kind of growing up in those angsty teen years, you know, no one believes you, everyone's against you. It almost felt sometimes like certain Buffy episodes, you know, Buffy vampire episodes.
Yeah, I totally agree with
when
you.
When they would, you know, be like, you know, they would have a sex episode and, you know, someone would have sex and get eaten by a monster or something.
Yeah.
Or rather, their boyfriend, you know, would become psychotic and kill everybody.
Right.
And I just felt like there was a lot of stuff, it kind of reminded me of that. Obviously, I don't think they were like, oh, let's be like Buffy, but there was a lot, and even there was this whole thing where, you know, Harry was kind of against the Ministry of Magic and stuff like that, or they were against him.
Yeah, just like Buffy against the Watchers Council.
But even, like, you know, it kind of was kind of like post 9/11 kind of paranoia thing a little bit in there, you know. So that was interesting, but I think the movie had issues with, like, follow-through, which is funny, too, because I thought the fourth movie, it was at such, like, a breakneck speed, like, at a pace that, like, it was almost like, it was like watching, like, a 2.5 or 2:45 minute trailer or something, you know?
I completely
agree.
So,
I know that a lot of people had problems with that, and that was one of the criticisms, so I wonder if that had to do with why this movie took so much more time to tell.
By far, my favorite of the series thus far was the third one. And Alfonso Cuarón is...
Yeah.
He's just amazing.
Yeah.
They're, like, I can't say anything bad about him. I've liked his other work, his previous work, and I thought he just brought this to a new level. Speaking of the third movie is where we met the Dementors.
Yes.
And they were so scary. I remember, like, the first time we saw the preview for it, and that Dementor hand is reaching towards the bus window, and it's just like, you actually feel like this would be a truly scary event if it happened. And then you watch this movie where it looks like a stick with a ball covered in a black burlap sack.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, weren't these things scary? What happened?
They were, very scary. And I just got to say, you know, I thought a lot of the camera choices weren't very good. I didn't enjoy the director that much, to be perfectly honest.
You should go back to shooting sex trafficking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm sure that was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I don't think that he has the right feel for the Harry Potter movie. I don't think he understands how a Harry Potter film is supposed to feel. And while this one was definitely supposed to have a different feel, I think it was far too different.
I mean, I have sympathy. It's like, you know, if you have a, like you're in college or high school, right? And you have a project due in 2 days, you know, you kind of just get it all out there and hope it's done. Like, this guy kind of got thrown in a position where you have to make these movies year after year.
It's true.
Because the kids are getting older.
It's true.
You know,
it's
Rupert Grint or whatever, is that his name?
I think
plays
that is,
Ron.
Yeah.
He's already 19. You know, like Hermione's 17, Daniel Radcliffe, I think,
they're
just turned 18.
They're all trying to do other things.
Yeah, but they're playing 15-year-olds. Yeah. And so, like, they had to get this done fast. So I feel bad for that guy in that respect. I just, you know, I don't know. It's kind of difficult.
I think, and I don't know because I didn't read the books, but I get this feeling that if you've read the books and you kind of have a better background in the story, you might enjoy the movie more just because you actually know what's going on and you know and you're able to fill in the gaps with what you've read.
And
it's funny because even like even in the video game, in the Wii game, which we got a start on, there was certain aspects and I was like, oh yeah, look, you know, they're talking about Gryffindor House. They're talking, you know, it's like, oh, look, you know, they're actually filling in a couple of the gaps that I was missing.
Yeah, no, it's funny. The game really does do that. I mean, when I was, I got to play a little more than you did, and they have, like, whatever that ghost girl, you know, who was in, like, the bathroom in the second movie.
Yeah.
Like, she made an appearance. Like, they do go a lot more into the mythos of Harry Potter in the video game. But that one's, you can tell that one's made a lot more for children,
right,
than the movie, which was made for teenagers that grew up, you know, watching these movies. So yeah, but you know, all in all, you know, I think you should go see it. I really enjoyed it. And also, I want to make this case too, real quick, before we have to take a break, is the fact that I think everyone needs to keep in mind that this is the fifth movie of a series. Okay,
and that's impressive in its own
you
right.
You know, like, honestly, how many fifth titles have you seen of a movie where someone's not wearing a ski mask hacking somebody up, or wearing, you know, like
boxing gloves?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, really, it's like Rocky, Friday 13th, and like Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah,
you know, and like Halloween, you know. But other than those, like, horror movies and Rocky, it's like you don't really see like a fifth installment of a movie that much. Granted, they're from books, but still,
right.
I thought it was very impressive. I considering people are looking at this almost like it's, you know, the first movie or second movie, like, it has to be as good. I thought, in a way, then it's quite good if you look at it as the fifth movie of an installment.
That's very true, and that is definitely something to consider. It's but yeah, I mean, yeah. Let's just let's take a break and we'll be back.
Definitely.
Maybe we'll talk a little more about the movie. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about the game, and we've got a whole bunch of geek news coming at you.
Definitely.
From E3. So. Sit back, relax, and we will be right back. We're back. You're listening to Geek World on KCLA-FM.com. We are your superhero super hosts, Anime and Dave, bringing you the best in the world of geek. We have been talking about the new Harry Potter film, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, and Are we pretty much done?
I think we're pretty much done.
Have we ridden that horse as far as it'll go?
Yes, certainly. You know, I thought that the acting was pretty good. I thought that, you know, for the most part, the special effects, you know, the battle special effects were okay. There's only a few problems I had with other ones. But all in all, you know, it's darker, but I would definitely recommend seeing it.
But I don't think you should bring small children.
I don't know. Was it? I mean, it's tough to say. It would be scary for them. But obviously, there's nothing sexual.
No, there's
or
nothing
too,
sexual.
Too
but,
violent.
But I think it would give them the nightmares that Harry has.
Yeah, well, you know sometimes it's good for a kid. You know.
I mean, it'll.
You
it'll
better
probably
do your freaking homework and clean your room, or Voldemort will get you. You know what I mean? I think that'd be pretty cool. Ralph Fiennes will get you.
It'll probably.
Hopefully not on an airplane.
Kids nightmares.
I'm sorry.
That's just wrong.
Yeah, I know.
That is wrong.
I'm sorry.
It'll probably give kids nightmares, and then there isn't the fun Quidditch matches, you know.
Yeah.
There's like one scene with the moving stairways, you know. It's,
yeah. There was very little it was very little of what makes Hogwarts magical.
Yeah, it's a pretty intense film. So so we've got like 5 minutes. So.
Wow, really?
Yeah, we talked a lot.
All right, well, we better just talk about E3 stuff.
Yep.
E3 was going on. There's all kinds of cool news, all kinds of cool stuff that came out. I think we're going to talk about a lot of Wii stuff just because we like the Wii and we have one.
Yeah.
The first news, it's not actually out of E3, but is that I think most of you know that the PlayStation 3, the 60 gig HDMI version, has just dropped by $100. It's a price cut. But supposedly, don't be too happy, because they're only selling the version they have out right now. And once they're out, you'll only be able to get the new premium 80 gig version for $600. So it's get them while they're hot, a whole $100 less. But yeah, E3 was going on. All kinds of cool stuff happened. But let's pretty much talk about the fact that Wii has all kinds of neat things coming up. And probably the coolest thing coming up. Actually, let's just do this first. Super Mario Galaxy will be coming out November 12th, which is the president of Super Mario said is a worthy successor to Mario 64.
Mm-hmm.
That will be coming out November 12th. And Super Smash Brothers Brawl, what I'm really excited about.
That sounds awesome. Because
now you can have a team with like Pikachu and like Solid Snake.
That is
or Kid
so
Icarus.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's going to be wild.
And this is for the Wii.
This is for the Wii. It'll be coming out December 3rd. So we're pretty excited about that.
Do you think they're going to, do you know if it's going to be punching, like kind of like the boxing game? Like that kind of thing.
I'm not sure. They haven't really given out stats of what the controls are going to be like yet. So you'll just have to wait
and
find out.
Another
really exciting thing coming out on the Wii in the first quarter of next year is Mario Kart.
Nice.
I'm very excited. I think Mario Kart
for
the 64 is definitely one of the best multiplayer games ever made.
I'm bad at that game.
Yes, you're horrible. So maybe it'll be better with the Wii version. It'll come packaged with this new Wii Wheel, they're calling it, that you can place in there. And it'll even have a button on the back so you can do power slides. So it's very cool. But the biggest news, I think, is that there's this new thing called the Wii Balance Board.
This is cool.
This thing is really neat. It is, it's going to come with a game, or it's coming out for a game called Wii Fit, but I'm sure many other things will come after. But basically, it does all kinds of things.
All you couch potatoes are actually going to have to get up.
This is really going to revolutionize game playing and working out. Basically, you stand on it. It measures your body weight. It keeps a track of your mass index.
BMI.
And it'll start telling you, like, you know, like, do leg lifts or something. If you start doing a leg lift, it will actually tell you if you're doing it wrong because it can judge your center of gravity. And so it's really just going to revolutionize how you play games.
Yeah.
And they even had a thing where, like, in the Wii Fit, they had the soccer game where you can, like, move your head back and forth, like, headbutt balls.
Yeah, that looked so fun.
And who knows? You know, I'm sure, like, there's going to be all kinds of crazy things that you'll be able to do, like, with a maybe skateboarding game sooner or later
that
or something.
That would be awesome.
Or snowboarding game. So
I remember that kind of thing back in the arcade where you'd stand on a board and play the
definitely.
Game.
Definitely. It's like, you know, it's funny. We all sure saw this coming. Remember when they had that cool track you could have bought for the original Nintendo?
Yeah.
You know, the running pad.
Running pad, you know,
they've always had something like this going. And also, for first-person shooters, they're making something called the Wii Zapper, which is essentially just kind of this device where you can plug in your Wiimote and your analog stick, nunchuck there, and you'll be, and it'll come, I believe, it won't come, but the first game available for use as it is Resident Evil Umbrella Chronicles, which will be kind of a first-person shooter, which will be co-op.
Very cool.
Have levels from the first 0 through 3 of Resident Evil. So it's very exciting.
So that's really
it. Is that it, huh?
That's really it. We got to. Yeah. Do you have any, like, really important things that...
You know, I mean, that was kind of the biggest thing. I don't think Xbox or PlayStation 3 had anything like that major about what was coming out this year. A lot of it was pretty much the Wii, and I think the Wii Balance Board is pretty much amazing.
If you have On Demand, most likely G4 is going to have some of their bits up on there.
They did a lot of good coverage of it.
So I'd check your On Demand for G4 coverage of E3. Seemed like it was really cool, and next year, hopefully, we'll be there.
Yes, hopefully.
As far as I know, next week, we will not be here, but my birthday is Friday, so send me birthday wishes, because you love me.
Yes.
Anyways.
Do that.
But I think we'll be at Ozfest, so cool on that. Let's see, what else? Today, we are going to take you out with a very, very special song. We're going to take you out with a Jet Ninja by GoGo 7188, and if you like them, they will be playing at the Knitting Factory in New York on August 7th and at the Empty Bottle in Chicago on August 8th. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us by sending us an email to animeontheradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website, geekworldradio.com. Check out our MySpace page, myspace.com/geekworld.
Can I say something in 10 seconds?
Okay.
I'm very upset, but one of our favorite games, Katamari Damacy, the new version being made, is only going to be for Xbox, not for PlayStation.
That's
so
sad.
That's very sad.
Anyways, enjoy Jet Ninja, and have a great day.